100% black owned and operated.
They said it couldn't be done.
We did it anyway.
The hottest independent network in the world.
Kaboom!
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
You are listening to The Kendall Doyle Show, right here on Bashani Radio App, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.
Welcome to The Kendall Doyle Show. Today, we are going to discuss various brands, businesses, and talents while also having a conversation on different issues that impacts today's society. Today, we have a very special guest. Her name is Kenyasha Tucker, better known as Shay. How are you today?
I'm doing good.
Great. Alrighty, so I want to thank you for coming. You look so cute.
Thank you.
Love what you have on. What are you wearing?
This is a New York and Paris
chiffon
top. Yes, ma'am. With some definitely Steve Madden shoes on.
Oh.
With the, you know.
I love it. Love your wardrobe.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Shay is a creative hairstylist who has goals to one day open her very own salon. She does various styles from traditional sew-ins, washing sets, closure units, to wig installations. She specializes in braiding from styles such as bach braids, knotless braids, cornrows, feed-ins, etc. So, Shay, let's start off by telling me, where did your inspiration to braid derive from?
Well, I'll say around the age of 10, started playing in my niece's and sister's hair. And then it kind of just took off from there. I mean, it was like a God-given talent. I didn't go searching for it or anything. It kind of was just something that I started practicing, and it just kind of went out from there.
Okay. So you have expressed to me that you're not exactly where you want to be yet with your goals. You have more goals to reach.
Definitely.
So what's your game plan? What's happening? What's next? What do you have coming for you?
Well, in the next few weeks, I do have some braid classes that I'm going to set up, and we're going to start there. Definitely reaching out to other stylists and other techniques that I haven't learned. I would definitely, you know, try to learn those techniques and, you know, definitely start a class from there and take off. But braiding classes, as of right now, is the next goal that I'm looking forward to.
Okay. So, let's get into a personal question. From a professional standpoint, do you ever feel like it's okay to not consider the client's time just as you would expect someone to consider your time? Do you ever feel like, let's say, for instance, a client is late. You will charge a late fee for your time. Well, what about when you are late? Do you charge? Will you take off? Like, how will you go about that when you are not considerate of their time?
Personally, I would accommodate the customer. 10 or 15 minutes is kind of like a grace period that I feel like everyone should allow, you know, just being human. But, you know, anything after 30 minutes going into an hour, definitely accommodate the customer. You know, 10% off, 20% off, next time I got you. You know, something of that nature. But yeah. Definitely time, you know, you can't get back. So definitely accommodate the customer, the client.
Okay. So there's like controversial topics that we have that have come up in our culture, especially the black culture,
mm-hmm.
When it comes to hair, there's like, okay, do you have good hair? Do you have bad hair? What do you feel about that? Do you label a certain people's hair as good or bad?
Not necessarily good or bad. The more updated terminology would be coarse, thin, fine, you know, words of that nature,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily good or bad. you know, just because of what's going on in today's society, you know, you don't want to just kind of use those words, that terminology. So you'll just kind of, you know, be a little bit more professional with it. She has coarser hair. She has 4C type. You know, if you know about the hair world, you'll know there's different types of hair. You may consider it good or bad, but, you know, it's the different types, different genetics, things like that.
So when Chris Brown said he likes the girls with the good hair, what do you think about that?
That's definitely Chris Brown's preference. But, you know, that definitely took a whole toll. You know, the black community can judge that in the way that they can. And then, of course, media with the extra. But, I mean, you know, that's Chris Brown's preference. And we'll leave it at Chris Brown's preference.
Okay. Great. Yeah. I want to know, specifically from you, what are your pet peeves when it comes to clients? Do you have any?
Yes, definitely. Me being a braider, I say come with a clean head. Well, my clean head and their clean head may not be the same. So their clean head is maybe I washed my hair a week ago. Well, my clean head is within 24 hours. So that's just something that I don't like. Don't come to me with products and things of on your hair, and I use my own products on your hair. That's just my biggest pet peeve. Just, you know, not a clean head in my chair. And then I don't shampoo. I will for extra. But just slim down on the time and everything, I don't shampoo. So it'll be different if you came to me and said, you know, I do have products in my hair. Can you shampoo me for extra such and such? But that's not even the talk. They just come in with a dirty head and say, let's go.
I'm like, oh, boy.
Yeah. No, ma'am.
Ooh, child.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want to know, in a field where there's so many different hairstylists, mm-hmm. especially around the Dallas Metroplex, there are millions on the social media who are very good, very popping, you know. How do you remain confident in such a competitive field?
There's enough money for everyone to eat. You know? There's this saying, when you go down the bread aisle, you have 20 different brands of bread. Everyone is going to choose whatever they want to choose. Reebok isn't worried about Nike. Nike isn't worried about Reebok. You know, you got so much competition out there. You just stay in your lane, stay focused, find what's best for you, you know, and just kind of go for it. It's nothing that's forced. It's nothing that, you know, I'm trying to do, you know. It's just kind of something that's falling in place. So I just kind of, you know, stay confident and keep going.
Okay, Shay. So at the end of the day, what would you say is your biggest motivation to be here?
My son. Definitely. I have a 5-year-old son, Cartier, and he's my biggest motivation, my biggest blessing. You know, when I leave this earth, I want to definitely leave something behind for him to have.
Right.
And say, my mom was this hairstylist and this is her. So.
Right. Okay, well, I want to thank you, Shay, for coming on my show, sharing with me your experiences in the hair industry. And I admire the fact that you are creative. I admire your craft, and I look forward to your future endeavors. Next we'll have on the show is April discussing police brutality in 2020. We'll be back. Thank you.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stan, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome back to the Kendall Doyle Show. Today we have another special guest. She is a former Dallas police officer. Her name is April. How are you?
Just fine.
You look wonderful. I love pretty women on my show. Love it. I want to thank you for coming. Recently, we've had things going on in our community that I want to discuss and I want to talk about. We're going to have a conversation on police brutality. Just recently, on May 24th, 2020, there was a black male by the name of George Floyd who died with a police officer's knee pressed against his neck as he screamed out, "I cannot breathe." George was unarmed and did not resist arrest in every video we saw uploaded to social media. The officers involved in the incident have all been charged since then, and the arresting officer is being charged for second-degree murder. Okay, April, so I want to get into this because this is something that keeps occurring, and I want to talk about it because we've seen it so many times before. Breonna, Trayvon Martin. As a former police officer, have you ever overheard a conversation with an officer who didn't see any issue with the current and inhumane police tactics we see and we face today?
Yes, I have. Being a black police officer in Dallas, I've worked with, of course, various races, and I've overheard them feeling like, you know, some ways, yes, it should have been handled this way, and then as far as my background and the way I grew up and where I grew up, I feel like it should have been handled a certain way. So, yes, I have.
Okay. Great. Based on your experience as an officer, do you think demographics and race play a part when coming in contact with a citizen?
Very much so. I've worked, as a former Dallas police officer, I worked downtown as well as Oak Cliff. And when you come into certain citizens downtown, you have to be a certain way. And I did love Oak Cliff because I worked with my own race, and I knew it, you know, I could be myself and communicate. I guess I could put myself in their shoes and understand where they were coming from. So it does play a big part.
So when you say that, like you say, you're African American, and those, you know, in Oak Cliff, mostly they're African Americans or minorities, and right. You can put yourself in their position or relate. Right. So when a white officer pulls over black people or a black male, do you feel like he can't relate? And maybe that's why.
A lot of times, yes, I do feel that way, because I've come to a situation, the most recent situation that I can come across was I had some African-American young ladies who were coming from Houston after the one of the big hurricanes there, and they were here and they were getting ready to joyride or whatever in Oak Cliff. But anyway, they had some marijuana in the car, and you know, they were already went through a hard time as far as, you know, being the hurricane. They were displaced from their parents, they were college students, and I just took it upon myself to make a decision. And what I was just trying to get the young ladies to realize is that, you know, just be truthful with the officer. You know, don't get an attitude or anything like that. But at the end of the day, if it wasn't for me, then they would have been in jail after the, you know, terrible situation they went through in Houston. So I called some of my counterparts, which were of another race, and they were wanting to take them to jail. And I called my supervisor, who's African-American, and he basically got him. And I said, look, I don't want to take them to jail because, you know, they already went through a situation in Houston. So it does, you know, it plays a big part, you know, as far as another race being able to account, you know, an African-American.
Right. Okay. While the arresting officer had his knee against Floyd's neck, there were other officers standing by witnessing what was going on, but they never intervened or stopped him when he had his knee upon George Floyd's neck. They never did anything. They just stood by and watched. Do you feel like they should be held accountable as well?
Absolutely. Because if you see another officer doing something wrong, you should intervene and correct the situation.
Okay. From what you have been taught, what do you think would have been the most appropriate way to handle the situation with George Floyd if you were the arresting officer?
I mean, with, I guess I was a laid back officer. So looking at $20 counterfeit, that could have been just a simple situation. Hey, you know, okay, we're going to go to jail. It's going to be a, you know, misdemeanor. I'm going to take, you know, the counterfeit, you know, put that up or whatever. Something simple. I wouldn't have took it to the next level as this officer did.
Exactly. Okay, with this question, you guys, I, both of you can chime in on it because this is what we've, what we see is going on today, due to George Floyd being killed and murdered. So now we have citizens who are upset and outraged, and they're looting, and they are protesting, and they're rioting. How do you feel like that? Do you feel like that's the answer?
Now, as my opinion, I feel like what the officers did was wrong. But as far as to tear up your own city and to do the things that they're doing, I don't feel that's right. It's the difference between, you know, being able to stand up and fight for your community versus tearing up the community. Because I feel like you're just as, you know, crazy as that officer was.
Right. What about you?
Similar. Definitely for the protest, get the message out, but you don't have to tear up the city. Definitely uncalled for. You know, walk a million bridges, stop a million cars, but you don't have to go in and start terrorizing things to only rebuild them, to slow, you know, other things down. So, you know, definitely get the message out. Stand in front of the police station. Do what you got to do. But you don't have to start throwing bombs and killing people and, you know, doing all the extra.
Okay. Well, I'm a college student. And I want to give y'all some history that I learned in my history class. Because I'm really into history. So, America started because colonists were fed up with the way the British Parliament was making them pay taxes without representation. And they protested peacefully. They wrote letters, etc. But nothing, they never got anywhere until they started to riot, loot, and cause chaos and havoc to let you know I'm not playing anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys ever heard of the Boston Tea Party, but it was not actually a tea party. Right. These colonists who were fed up took the tea out of the harbor, even though this was back in the day. This was still like what we're doing now. They took the tea out of the harbor and they dumped it. And they, you could say they tore up their city as well. Mm-hmm. They had militias called the Minutemen who got their guns loaded and was ready for the, you know, they took action by any means necessary, as Malcolm X would say. They took action. And I'm not saying that, you know, like you said, because we tearing up black businesses too as well by looting and rioting. But, like, what is it going to, my thing is, what is it going to take? You know, like, I have a different view. I understand their reasoning. If we gotta burn it up, let's burn it up. When they gonna stop? And I know we have different views, and that's fine. That's why we're here, to talk about different views. But I think you're doing amazing, sweetie. That's what I think when I see this happening. Because.
But what does?
But wait, I do have a comment on that. Only because when you see the protests and you see the riots, it is a lot of your generation that's out there.
Right.
And it's like the younger crowd is like, you know, y'all have did this enough. And it's like, I don't know if the younger crowd is looking at the parents get upset, you know, or what, but it's definitely like the whole younger crowd, the college students and everything. And it's really amazing to me. Like, you know,
I know it's don't tear this up. Don't do this. And for some people who are, I feel like there are some people who are doing this just to steal some Gucci shoes or whatever. No, like you're definitely just, yeah. Right. But for the people who
actually have a meaning for it.
I'm
going to
burn up this police car.
But what, burn up police car, what what is that gonna bring you? Nothing.
It's just gonna, I'm just outraged. I mean, it don't have to bring nothing. It's just, what killing a black man for no reason? What does that bring? Nothing. That just divides us more apart, and it makes it seem like we have a black versus white issue, and we don't.
Right.
We shouldn't be dealing with this in 2020. So, burning up a police car, burning up a town, a city should be the least of your concern. Stop killing us. Period.
Okay.
So,
I agree. You know, I definitely agree with you.
Okay. Next question. So, there's a quote by the late Martin Luther King Jr. that says, "There comes a time when silence is betrayal." So, when I read that quote, I was thinking about, like, you know, our Caucasian friends or friends of different races who don't go through the same thing as black people, who don't have nothing to say, who just...
But this time, a lot of them came out.
You saw that?
A lot of them did come out. Like, the whole country, it's, you know... It's definitely like this one is definitely the far most biggest one.
This one
is the big one.
I think they only coming out so it won't be a race war.
Maybe. I can see that too.
That's why I feel like they're, you know.
But they're coming out. You know, let them come out.
Because do you think this is a black versus white issue?
I think they're coming out to prevent that.
Or is it about just inhumane?
No, I would definitely go with black versus white. It's a racist.
It's racism. Yeah.
Because if had it been a black man, it wouldn't have went down like that.
Exactly.
Had it been white on white, it wouldn't have been that way. You know? So it's definitely a race card. They pulled it. And we're pulling it back.
Exactly. Okay. So I want each of you to give thoughts. And I'm going to give my thoughts. We can start with you if you want to. Mm-hmm. Work our way around. I want to know, how can each of us, in our very own way, contribute to the fight of equal rights for black people in America? Like, how can you play a part? What can you do?
Give back more. Have those conversations that you never had before. You know, when you're talking to someone. I seen on Facebook one time this black man... this elderly white lady came up to this black man and gave him a hug. And she said, "I'm sorry for the way that my people have been treating you." For a older white woman to do that to a black man, you know, she just kind of, this was a random man. She didn't know this man. She kind of just felt that within herself to, like, let me go up to this man and do that. So do something outrageous that you've never done before to kind of, you know, make it seem like we're okay. You know, right. We're like, I feel you. You feel me. You know, like, we're going to come together and, like, it's going to be okay. So, you know, just kind of have conversations and do things that you wouldn't normally do before. Be more on a positive and peaceful side of it. You know, just kind of think above and beyond. You know, we're in 2020 and look what we're going through. So, at this point, if you're still on the same petty, we not going through racism no more, you know, it's like, okay, it's in our face now. Like, you see it. So, you just got to, you know, be a better person for our younger crowds.
April?
I would say for me, I mean, giving back is great, but what got me a long way with as far as being a former officer would be treat people the way I want to be treated. And that got me so far because, I mean, I've encountered various races and I haven't had any issues. You know, a lot of people ask me, have you had to pull your gun? Have you had to shoot somebody? Have you tased somebody? You know, stuff like that. And I never had to do that. I hadn't had, you know, had a fight or anything like that. And I was an officer for 7 years.
Wow.
So I just treat people the way I want to be treated.
I love it. For me, I would say just by starting this show, I want to talk about all topics that impact us. Mm-hmm. Get it out there. Raise awareness. By investing in black businesses, starting black businesses, building, a wise man once said, he said, his goal is to build generational wealth for black people. I feel we don't have that. It's so hard to find a black family and say, I have inheritance. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. Right. So investing in black businesses, starting a black business, being a black boss, all of that, I feel like that's how we gonna raise ourselves up and get the respect and dignity that we deserve and that we need. And it was a quote that I read that said, you know, America, I'm not gonna say white people, America should be lucky that black people want to be treated fair and equal and not revenge. Mm-hmm. And that's deep. All right, well, that's all we have for you guys today. I want to thank my special guest once again. We have Shay.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And we have April.
Hello.
Okay, I want to send my most sincere condolences and prayers to the family and friends of George Floyd and all other victims of police brutality. Like I said, I started this talk show off because I saw there's so many black lives being taken, and I'm black. I date black. My brothers are black. My father is black. So I can't, and even women, black women are victims as well. So we have to do something about this, and we can't keep watching people who are supposed to protect and serve kill the ones we love. It has to stop. So that's a wrap on the show. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you back here next week on the Kendall Doyle Show.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Stat, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store. 100% black owned and operated. They said it couldn't be done. We did it anyway. The hottest independent network in the world. Kaboom! You want prizes? We've got free prizes. You want cash? We've got lots of cash. Simply download Bashani Radio App. Allow push notifications and listen for your chance to win loads of cash. Please don't tell our CEO it's his money we're giving away. We won't tell if you won't tell. Bashani Radio App. Download it for free in the App Store.